He's still the master. Still the master. We rejoice in that. I invite you this morning to turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And while you're turning, I must make a confession. This is not what I had thought I was going to preach for the last month or so. This is one of those times when God touched my heart and said, you know what? Put that away for another time. And this is what he gave me. Now, there's nothing that scares a preacher's wife like when she says, what are you going to preach about tomorrow? And you show her this. But folks, that's it. We're going to look in the fifth chapter of 2 Corinthians. I don't want us to read together verses 14 through 20. 14 through 20. Now, this passage is packed with all kinds of good things from the whole chapter, but we're going to concentrate on the last part of the chapter. And I want us to begin reading in verse 14. Paul writes this, "For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died, and he died for all, that they who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no man according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now, all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were entreating us through us. We beg you to, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God." Pray with me for a moment. Father, I pray that you'd fill each heart with your love and mercy and grace, and fill this place with your powerful Holy Spirit, that hearts and lives might be touched for Jesus' sake. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. We're going to talk this morning about reconciliation. But first I have to ask you a question. How many of you have something in your house you've had for years and years and years, and you never use it? You keep it, but you never use it. I told Charlie one time, I said, you know, Charlie, I have got a basin wrench. Now, Charlie knows what that is. I have a basin wrench that I have not used for 20 years. It takes up space. I have saved it from numerous garage sales when Carol snuck it out and put it on a table with a price on it of a dollar. But if I ever need that basin wrench, it's there. But you know what? Those things that we hoard up like that and never use are not worth much to us. I one day may die and never have used that basin wrench. And you know what? It doesn't mean a thing to me. God understood that we're a whole lot like that as people. And God has invested in us through his love and mercy and grace. And then how many of us just sit on the shelf? Sit on the shelf. We're about as much use as that basin wrench. Reconciliation. Reconciliation is the act, if you will, of restoring relationships. But more than that, God is talking here about doing whatever it takes. Doing whatever it takes. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 23 and 24, he talks about a man who comes to the temple to worship, goes to the altar. As he's kneeling there with his gift, his sacrifice in his hand, just like that, he remembers that he and his brother are not right. Their relationship is not right. And God says to him, speaks to his heart, and he said, put your offering down because it's no use to me. Well, that's my interpretation. He says, put your offering down, go and get right with your brother, then come back and worship me. It's extremely important that relationships be restored, and doing whatever it takes is God's way of doing it. What did it take for God to repair the broken relationship between he and I? Well, it took the death of his son on the cross. Nothing less than the precious blood of Jesus restored the relationship with God. So do whatever it takes then to restore a right relationship. Now, in the passage that we looked at, and I'm not going to cover all this. I'm not going to do the fancy word studies. I'm not even going to do the deep theological things like verse 16. If you want that, I'll talk to you sometime other. What I'm going to do is very simply and give you a straight up message from my heart. I'm going to give you what God gave me. God has given us, first of all, each one of us that knows Christ as Savior, he's given us reconciliation, the gift of reconciliation. I like the way it says in Ephesians chapter 2. And the Bible says simply this in verse 8 and 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand. Now, we all know verses 8 and 9. We know that we're saved by grace and not by works. And we glory in that, some of us, because we don't have many good works. But the truth is that God reached down, touched our hearts, drew us to the cross, and saved us simply because he loved us. Simply because he loved us. Romans 8 Romans 5 and verses 8 through 11 say it this way, and Dawn quoted this morning as a part of her opening comments. But God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For if while we were enemies, We were reconciled to God through the death of his Son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only this, but we also exult in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have received the reconciliation. And so the passage tells us clearly that, first of all, the first recollection we have of being reconciled to God is the gift that came to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish but have life everlasting. So God has given us the gift of reconciliation, but beyond that, he has also given us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, if you paid close attention to verse 10 in Ephesians chapter 2, you got the whole point. I'll read it again. It says, "For we are his workmanship." We are his workmanship. We are what he did in us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Have you ever noticed that years and years and years ago, people had names that were based on occupations? Did you know that? I'll give you an example. My father's dad was named Brewer. Now, where do you think that name came from? Well, years and years and years and years before, those who were called Brewer brewed beer. And yet there are names that even surnames, the name Carpenter would indicate what? The name Fuller would indicate what? A person who had been a fuller. And so names then were equated with professions. Well, you know, it's that way with us. God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. You see, he saved us by his passion, but he saved us for his purpose. His purpose. People say, well, I know God created me for good works, and so I try to do all the good works I can. Well, bless your heart. How about doing what he created you for? Doing what he created you for. You know, I think about that, and I think about all the tools that are created for one purpose. You know, tool manufacturers and auto companies are in a conspiracy. I think the auto companies own the tool companies, because every car that comes out, you have to buy a special tool to work on something on that rascal. Used to be the screwdrivers came in two varieties, a flat blade and a Phillips head. Good grief, look in a toolbox now. There's some like little stars. There's some that have three little points. Come on. The point is, each one of them was created for a purpose that the car maker had. I want you to know that you and I are created by God Almighty to fulfill the purpose that he has for us, and that's the purpose of being a minister, ministering his reconciliation to other people. So each of us has received the gift of reconciliation, and along with that, the ministry of reconciliation, but more than that, the word of reconciliation. I like the way verse 19 says it. It gives a name to what we're supposed to be knowing. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against him, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now, that word committed is not the best translation. The word, in a very literal sense, means that he has placed in us this word of reconciliation. The word is simply this: Jesus Christ died on a cross to save sinners. Paul said, of whom I am the greatest. Now, that's not hard to say, is it? But I wonder sometimes if it's hard to live out. You know, you've heard the expression, talk is cheap. It is. You can say anything as long as you don't have to live up to it, can't you? But the fact of the matter is, people don't believe the testimony of your lips as much as they believe the testimony of your life. And so we've had the word of reconciliation placed inside of us. Now, Paul had something that generally we don't have. He had a lot of passion when it came to this. He says the love of Christ controls us. And I want you to know that Paul's life was controlled by the simple fact that Jesus Christ died for him. And he lived out the rest of his life telling people about that. I wonder what would happen if people had the passion like that today. You know, people say, well, where's the next Billy Graham going to come from? God didn't create a superstar when he created Billy Graham. It's just that when God reached down and saved his soul, it became such a consuming passion in him that every time he opens his mouth, God drips out. People say, where's the next Billy Graham coming from? Well, he's coming right from among God's people when somebody has that passion. You read down in the last part that I read, he said, we beg you to be reconciled to God. What's the last time you begged someone? Have you ever got down on your knees and begged? Have you ever had tears streaming down your cheeks and said, oh God Almighty, I pray that you'd reach down and touch this one, draw them to the cross? You see, we lack passion. We don't lack passion for anything else, do we? I'm going to guess that there are some people sitting here today that can give me the scores from at least 5 football games yesterday. Now, don't put up your hands. There may be some that know the scores from 10 football games. There may be some that let their answering machine answer their phone during football games. I'm not trying to make anybody uncomfortable. Don't wiggle in your seat, because then everybody know I'm talking about you. How can someone be that passionate about a game and not be that passionate about the fact that God put his son on a cross to save their soul, and not be passionate that others receive that message? Last thing I want to say is simply this. So then we are the bearers of reconciliation. We not only have the awesome privilege
to be the bearers of God's reconciliation for the world as we share that with others. But we have the awesome responsibility to get it done. Folks, there's no plan B. I wonder today how many of us will fulfill the purpose for which God reached down and apprehended us. The ministry of reconciliation. Let's pray together. Father, I simply pray that you do what no preacher can do. That you speak to hearts. That you draw folks to the cross. Oh God, that if there's one here this morning that's never trusted Jesus as Savior, that they might have gotten the message that he died for them, for their sin. I pray that you'd break hearts this morning. That there might be people that say, you know, I don't want to live another day of this life. God help me. Father, there might be some this morning that the passion has gone out of. Lukewarm. Oh, they're not enemies of the cross. They just don't care enough. Just don't care enough. Might be some, Father, that need a church home, a place where they can be passionate about serving you in the ministry of reconciliation. Father, you work your will in each life. And we'll give you the praise and the honor and the glory in Jesus' name. I invite you to stand quietly and prayerfully. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Take a moment with God. Better still, let him get a hold of you. Just for this moment, will you let God get a hold of your heart? God deserves an audience in your heart. He died to get it. Wonder this morning if there's one that needs to come to Jesus. God, forgive me. God, save me. I wonder if there's one this morning that needs to come and say, God, forgive me for the lukewarm heart that I have. If there's one this morning that wants to come and say, God has led me to be a part of this church family. Whatever decision you feel led to make, I invite you to come. Praise team's going to sing. That makes it so simple, so easy. Step out on the first note. Will you come?